Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles, if you will. Turn with me to Psalms 27. My wife and I were listening to the message, the rapture, yesterday morning, and Brother Branham actually used these scriptures for a text in the message, the rapture, and it speaks volumes. Amen. We know that there is a squeeze coming down, but we have a hiding place. Amen. Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Will you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, with patience, Lord God, we do wait for thy coming, O God. And as we wait on you, Lord, we have entered into your house once again to make preparations for that day. Lord, we have prepared our hearts for your visitation this day, Lord God, that you would come and speak to our hearts, that you would come and inhabit the praises of your people, Lord, as we offer up, Lord, as the scripture says, sacrifices of joy, Lord. We joy in your word, Lord. We joy in your presence. We joy in your people, Lord God. We are strengthened, Lord, by your word. We're strengthened, Lord God, when we come together as a body of believers, Lord God, having faith in the one true living God. Father, we just ask that you come, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. You know exactly what we have need of. Lord, as we give you thanks, Lord God, we wait on you, Lord. We wait on you, Lord. For we know that all things work together for our good, Lord God. You know the right time to come. You know, Lord God, when we'll be rapture ready. We have that rapturing faith, Lord, and you're building that in us, Lord, by your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you're so mindful of us, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you have patience with us. We love you, Father. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, and we wait on your coming, Lord. We ask all these things in the blessed and lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Let's sing that first verse together. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait down on
time, you will answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait for an answer from you. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. While hearts are aflame, help me humble and to call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my eyes on thee. Help. What you want me to, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Let's sing it again. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Amen. There's so many blessings in waiting on the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you why you're waiting on Him. You might want to look back sometime, think about where He brought you from. Amen. And just start thanking Him for what He did for you, what He's doing for you, and what He's going to do for you. Amen. Let's sing a little song, a little something like this. Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how You set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how You brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never.
Well, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. Amen. Let's sing it like this. How can I forget? Well, how can I forget what you've done for me? How can I forget how you set me free? Oh, how can I forget? How can I forget? No, never. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. Amen. You might want to look at your neighbor and tell him a little something like this. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. Let's sing it again. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. I say, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. He's been so good to me. Let me sing like this. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about it. He's been so good to me. Well, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. I said, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. Well, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. He's been so good to me. Yes, he has. Amen. Yes, he has. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They also say you can't tell it like I can. You may have been through something like what I've been through, but you can't tell it like I can. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. I got a lot of old songs running through my head right now, but well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have a few specials we got to get to. Amen. And we have the preaching of the word coming also. Amen. If you will, take your seats. We're going to ask Brother Leroy to come. Amen. God bless our brother. Amen. We sure do love Brother Leroy.
To hear your heart's cry, his
That's truly a privilege that we have to reach out and touch our Lord. Amen. Sister Wisdom, will you come? She's not here. Oh, Sister Wisdom isn't here. Amen. We're going to ask the brothers to come at this time. Let's sing this little chorus as our brothers come. I stand in awe of you.
I stand. In all of you, I stand in all of you, Holy God, to whom all praises due. I stand in awe of you.
Can we sing it one more time?
I stand in awe of you.
Oh,
I stand. All praises do I stand in awe of you.
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for another time that we can just be in this place that you have provided for us at this time. So much things are happening around about us, dear Lord, but we come here to meet and be with you today. Ask that you'll just bless the people as they give from their hearts, dear Lord God. What you have given us, we've just given a small percentage back, and we are so thankful that we can give back to you. Ask that you'll watch over us and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Says, do I stand in awe of you.
Come on, stand to your feet. Let's sing it again.
I stand in awe of you.
can't seem to understand what you're doing and how it fits into your plan. I wish I knew how all my fears and
Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad to be serving the living God? He who knows the end from the beginning. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. My. Don't y'all feel that way? Amen. The key of B flat. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? I'd like to introduce to you, in this corner of the good and the right, stands a champion all robed in white. His height exceeds the heavens. Weight outweighs the world. His reach reaches everywhere. His age is evermore. He's higher than the heights. He's greater than the great. No one could ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. He left his home to enter this arena, to stretch his hands in victory for you and me. But you see, there was an angry crowd that cried, "Crucify him!" He who wore the crown, and they watched my champion going down. But I will never count him out, 'cause I'm a witness of that day he rose to proclaim champion of love. He's higher than the highest. He's greater than the great. No one could ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, the all-time undisputed, the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. Oh yes, he's higher than the highest. He's greater than the great. No one could ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above.
champion of love. He's my champion of love. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have the victory this morning. Hallelujah. We're victorious. Hallelujah. Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to step out of the way. Ask our pastor to come at this time. Amen. Stand to your feet. The sound of your
great name. Your great name, your great name. Hey, my heart will sing. My heart will sing. No other name but Jesus. Jesus, my heart will sing, my heart, no other name but Jesus, sweet Jesus, my heart will praise, no other name but Jesus, sweet Jesus, my heart will praise, no other name but Jesus, sweet Jesus, my heart will sing, the name but Jesus. Oh Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name but Jesus. Oh Jesus, come on one more time, my heart will praise, Jesus, sweet Jesus, my heart will praise, no other name but Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus. Worthy is that was slain for us, oh Son of God, and man, you are high and lifted up. All the world will praise your great name. 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 Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, oh God. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, it's not just a song,
But Lord, it's our testimony. And God, our heart will never sing no other name but the name of Jesus. Our heart will not praise any other name but the name of Jesus. You are the Son of God, the bright and morning star, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending. God, you're everything in between. Scripture says, in you we live, we move, and we have our being. Lord, your presence is so precious to us. We just appreciate your spirit. It's good to know that we can go somewhere and just feel the presence of God. Jesus. We love you, God. We love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We glorify your name this morning. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's just worthy of our praise. Anytime we feel his presence like this, we just want to enter in and we just want to enjoy it. Sometimes it's presence like this that God just refreshes you and renews you. And let's just worship him just a little bit, church. The song says, hallelujah, you have won the victory. Let's sing a little bit. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. You have won it all for me. Come on, say that again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You won the victory. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You won it all for me. You have won it all for me. Death could not hold you. Oh, death could not hold you down. For you are the risen King. Oh, you're seated in majesty. You are the risen King. You are the risen King. Hallelujah. Oh, say hallelujah. Oh, you have won the victory. We worship you, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You won it all for me. Oh, you have won it all for me. Death could not hold you. Say, death could not hold you down. You are the risen King. You are the risen King. Seated in majesty. You are seated in majesty. Oh, you are the risen King. Lord, you are the risen King. Hallelujah. Death cannot hold you down. I say death could not hold you down. You are the risen King. God, you are the risen King. Seated in majesty. Oh, you are seated in majesty. You are the risen King. Oh, for you are the risen King. Hallelujah. Oh, say hallelujah. Oh, you have won the victory. Hallelujah, say hallelujah. You did it all, you won it all. You have won it all for me. Come on, sing it again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, say hallelujah. You have won the victory. You have won. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You won it all for me. You have won it all for me. Just the voices raised. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. You won the victory. You have won the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You won it all for me. You have won it all for me. Come on, that sounds so good. We're in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You won the victory. You have won the victory. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You won it all for me. You have won it all for me. Somebody worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we get into worship like that. I'm going to let you be seated. But as we sing songs like that in the presence of the Lord is so real, I get lost in my thoughts and in my interpretation of worship. And I just see myself standing in the presence of the Lord, just giving him my praise and my adoration. I'm not caring about who's there and who's not there. That don't have anything to do with it. But I just think about me being there in his presence and what those words mean to me. God, you won the victory. That means you conquered death. so I don't have to be afraid to die. You conquer hell. And since paradise has been emptied out, I'm not going there, but I'm going into that sixth dimension. And you conquer the grave. Nobody could do it but you, Jesus. And you did all that just for me. Church, I just get lost in my worship. I get lost in my thoughts when I just think about all that he did just for me. Your name, God. Bless your name, Jesus. Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you. Nobody like you. Thank you for the victory that you won. I think about all the battles, Lord, that I try to fight. I don't have to fight them. They're not my battles. They're yours. The scriptures say the battle is the Lord's. But God, we thank you that you allow us to enjoy the rewards of victory. How great you are. How mighty you are. How precious you are to us. We love you, God, this morning. We love you more than ever before. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Got a couple of prayer requests here. Sister Iskra is asking prayer. Says my prayer request is to pass the ACT this Saturday. And my EOC to graduate high school. Also, I pray for my family and my brother Alex, his business, also for my dad and Dominican, and most important for my family to be closer with God. So we want to remember Sister Iskra in prayer today. Sister Ashley also is asking prayer, since I'd like for the church to keep my family in prayer and also keep me in prayer. I have to take the ACT on Saturday, and I hope not any... I hope not only to have passing scores, but to have college readiness. Amen. So we want to keep her in prayer. Also, I want to pray for Anthony Raul DeVal to please bring him back to the ways of God. He needs God back in his life, and I really want the church to pray for him. I know God does miracles, also for me to pass the ACT in February. So we want to keep Sister Ashley in prayer as well, and also this request for Anthony Raul. And also Brother Felix is requesting prayer. It says please pray for my brother is this So now she has a stomach infection. Is this your mother or your brother? Your mom. Okay, his mom has a stomach infection. She's in the hospital. Lung infection. Okay, all right. We want to pray for Brother Felix's mom. She's in Cuba. Okay, she's in the hospital in Cuba. So we want to send a word of prayer, amen, towards her. And also just want you to... Satan's just been attacking so many. Just good to have Sister Rolande, amen, in service with us today. She's been under the weather there for most of the week, and we thank God for just touching her and allowing her to come back into the house of the Lord today. Amen. Also, Brother Burrs is at home. He's not feeling well. Been just under attack for the past couple of days, and amen. So just keep him in prayer. He hasn't been able to get a lot of rest, but, you know, this morning, you know, finally was able to start getting a little rest. So he and Sister Burr stayed in, and understand that Brother Caleb also is being attacked with the flu, and just the devil just attacking so many. But we're trusting God just to bring healing to each and every one. Amen. So let's just take these requests before the Lord. Sorry. Thank you so much for clearing that up. So Sister Eva, you put in a request for Anthony. All right. Okay. We'll remember that. And you also take an ACT. All right. Okay. So we got three ACT tests, and we just want to take that before the Lord. All right. Let's pray. Amen. Lord, we're so grateful that we serve a living God. He's not dead, but is alive forevermore. And you are the all-time, undisputed champion. That's who our King is. That's who our Lord is, our Savior. God, we bring these requests before you. Just asking that you would just meet every one of them. Lord, Brother Felix, his mom with the condition, Lord, in her body there in Cuba. She's in the hospital. We pray that you would touch her. We send the word of healing to her even right now, God. And we ask that you would just touch and raise her up and bring her out of that hospital, Lord, that he would hear good news that God has raised his mama up. God, we know that you're able. God, as we're praying for Brother Felix's mom, we can't help but pray for Mother Tillman as well, and ask that you would just continue to touch her and her body, God, and give her strength and, Lord, power to overcome. Father, we thank you for her faithfulness and her love, Lord, and her determination, Lord, just to serve you in the middle of it. So we just ask, God, that you would just bring healing to her body as well, God. No case too hard for you. Amen. We believe your word, Jesus. We pray, Lord, for Anthony, who's stepped away from you, not serving you, Lord, the way he used to serve you. And as we think of Anthony, we think of so many, God, that have walked away from your love and your grace. And, God, they just don't serve you the way they used to serve you. We pray that you would restore them, God, that you would bring them back from, amen, the fields of sin. These other families, Lord, that are needing prayer. We just commit them all into your hands, God, believing that you'll meet them at the point of their need. Alex's business, the father in Dominican Republic. God, look upon each and every one of these requests. God, our precious sisters who are preparing for their future. Lord, having to take this ACT test, I pray that you bring all things to their remembrance and that they would do well on their test, God, and have them ready for their next step. Some want to go to college, and Lord, you know exactly what your plan is for us. So we just pray, God, that you just meet them and bless them and just comfort them, Lord, at the time they're taking the test. Lord, may all nervousness be moved, and God, let them do the best that they possibly can, Lord, is our prayer. And God, we just thank you, Lord, that we can bring every need to you, and Lord, knowing that when we bring it, amen, that there will be an answer for everything we bring. We love you, God. We appreciate you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Also, we've got a couple of announcements that we want to just make mention of. Amen. For you this evening, we'll have our communion service. This is our last communion for the year of 2014. We thank God for another year. I got so much to be thankful for. So we'll come, amen, tonight at 5:30, and we'll have our communion. And following that, our feet washing service, amen. Don't forget, on December 20th, we have a youth service. We had Brother Jules Forney scheduled to come and speak for us, but he called me this week and had a conflict in the schedule, so he won't be able to make it. And I had another brother that I had in my heart to get, and I tried to contact him really quick, but he wasn't able to make it either. So God know who we want to speak. Amen to the young people on that day. And that's our final youth service for 2014. So we want to make sure that we execute on that. And just keep it in prayer. We're looking for God just to do something special. And that same weekend, we'll be having our Christmas worship service. Amen. On that Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m. And we're asking that if you have something that you want to do, a poem or a song or, you know, whatever you might want to do, we're asking that you make sure you give your name to Sister Michelle. Amen. I've asked her just to kind of get the list together for me. And so make sure you give your name to hers if you want to do something there. And then that way we'll have it all situated. I believe that you'll be blessed by that night and looking forward to just to come and just worship. Amen. It's all about Christ. Amen. It's all about Christ. And we want to just make him the center of it. You know, we Santa Claus, we don't believe in him. Amen. He's a myth, right? Amen. He's not real. And even in all honesty, Jesus was not born on December 25th. Amen. That's not when lambs are born. They're born in the springtime. And during that time of year, it's so much snow and everything there on the hillside. There's no way the shepherds would have been out there watching their flock in the snow. So these things have come. They're pagan things that have come. It was a time in history where the pagans were worshiping the sun god, but when they joined in with Christianity, they moved the sun god out and they brought the son of God in, but they still kept their pagan traditions. And you can see even today that it's very pagan with even some of the gifts that people give. How are you going to give somebody on Jesus' birthday some wine and some liquor and some cigarettes? And come on now, we talk about worshiping our Lord. Right. So, you know, but all these things, you know, it came from pagan traditions. And, you know, but the issue is that it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. And, you know, so we you know, what we want to do is just bring the truth and just take opportunity to express our love to the one God who came to die for our sins. And amen. We want to celebrate his birth and our worship. And just take time to reflect on that. So we pray that you'll be able to come and be a part of that service. That's the 21st of December, 6:30 p.m. We'll have a Christmas worship service right here at Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. So God bless you. Amen. I think that's all that I'm supposed to announce. Amen. I appreciate the specials this morning. Amen. Thank God for these songs that went forth. And amen. Just a real, real genuine anointing here. Thank God for Brother Solomon just leading us in worship. Amen. Just appreciate the Lord. Amen. We also mentioned on Wednesday night, we thank God for the Morales family. God brought them back safely from Puerto Rico. So good to have them, amen, with us, amen, back here in Florida. So God bless you. Thank you, musicians. I appreciate you. Amen. I'll relieve you from your duties. We're just under expectation. And while I'm thinking about it, Lord, please touch Brother Burrs. Please touch Brother Caleb, as they need you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have enjoyed the past couple of weeks. We had Brother Walker come through and minister to our hearts. And he did a wonderful job. Amen. I believe a couple of weeks ago was preaching on Showdown. And then Brother Justin Smiley coming on last week and preaching on Expressions of Gratitude. And he did a wonderful job as well. I just feel like God's just been doing so much for us lately here, amen, in our church. And just feeding us with the spiritual food from, you know, from on high, and just so many great things. I we're going into 2015, amen, with victory. Amen. We're going in with a great shout, right? You know, in spite of all our tests and trials, we still are victorious. And amen. And we just thank God. And I'm claiming 2015 as the year of Jubilee. Amen. I'm claiming it anyway, you know, as every captive being set free. Praise the Lord. Amen. We don't have much longer here. We know that the rapture's at hand. We're living in the rapture even right now, you know, and we're just under expectation for, you know, God to restore all that Satan has taken from us. We believe in God going to give it all right back. Praise the Lord. So we're under expectation, and I just I'm looking forward to what God has for 2015. But before we get there, we have a few more services in 2014 that we want to try to complete, and the Lord has just placed in my heart to stay with this little subject that we had on the bride is the mystery of Christ revealed, and I just want to go a little further in that, amen, on today, and I trust that God will help us. Amen. So let's just let's read a scripture, out of Colossians 1. Praise the Lord. Everyone standing that can stand. And Mother Joltius, amen. She celebrated a birthday on last Wednesday, amen. And we thank God for giving her another year, amen, here. We just appreciate the Lord for, amen, doing that. Sister Elon, how old is Mother now? 82? I think it's 82, and Mama still got it. we thank God for, you know, him just touching her and strengthening her. We just appreciate that. All right, let's read, amen, from Colossians. Actually, let me get it here. Praise the Lord. Amen. And again, I want to, Colossians chapter 1, I just want to ask if we got, let's turn here and read this. And I just, it's a pretty long scripture, y'all bear with me. But I tell you, I believe God got us going through this for a reason. So let's just look at this, Colossians 1. And I thought about asking you all, amen, but I don't want to embarrass nobody. But I hope that you all have been listening to this tape on Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. I hope you're listening to it. And if you haven't listened to it, I want to encourage you, please listen to it. It's very important when God kind of gives us a little series like this that we be obedient to the Spirit, because then you can understand where I'm coming from. And we in it together. You can, you know, we can get in here and just get some great things from God if everybody's on the same page. We got to be in one mind and one accord for God to do great things in our midst. So let's read here. Verse 16, Colossians 1, it says this: "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." My God. "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. Also, I have another quick scripture over in Genesis chapter 24. Let's just read a little bit from there. Genesis 24. Praise the Lord. And I'll just read one verse here. Verse 58 out of Genesis 24. And says, "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go." Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless us as we prepare to, amen, just partake in, amen, the subject today, amen, of the bride is the mystery of Christ revealed. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just start by reading, amen, from a message here out of Christ as the mystery of God revealed. I'm going to start reading at paragraph 128. Amen. Let's start there. It says this. Now, you realize that any of these places here, you could take a text. It's just hard for a preacher to hold his peace. He looked like he want to keep going with it, but you got to get back to what you're teaching on. He is the principal theme of the Bible. He was in the prophets. He, talking about the Lord Jesus, was in the Psalms. He was in the history of the Bible. The Bible is a prophetic book. It's a historical book. It's a book of love. It's a book of songs. It's a book of life. And in there you find Christ. He was in the prophets. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history, and he also in the Bible is the thing that is to come. So he was before until after. What does that make him then? The same yesterday, today, and forever. And you inject something in there that doesn't make him the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Lee, where do you go to? You got an awful picture there, for he was the history, see, and he is the prophet. I like that. He is the prophet. All right. I mean, you know, here's a prophet declaring that he is the prophet. Remember, Brother Branham made a comment, says, "I am a son of man revealing the son of man." And a son of man is nothing more than a prophetic ministry revealing who the true prophet is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A prophet can't even prophesy if God don't show him nothing. Amen. He can't do anything outside of Christ. Right? I mean, a prophet depends completely on Jesus. And not only the prophet, but we depend completely on Jesus. That's why I said earlier, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Everything is centered around Jesus Christ. Amen. So we want to make sure that we put the attention where it needs to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let me just keep going. He says, now, he was the history, see, and he is the prophet. He is the Psalms. He is everything. And if you can't make him everything and the same, where, what's your picture look like? Do you see it? All right. And, you know, I've just been around for a long time, and the picture now is not on Christ anymore. It's on men, right? We don't want to put the picture on men. Keep the picture on Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. That's very, very important. You can't put your, I can't be in the picture. Huh? Amen. For a husband and wife, for the husband and the wife can't be in the picture. For the wife, the husband can't. It got to be all about Christ. Amen. We're not here to worship one another. We're here to worship Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm saying what the prophet said. Right? You know, because like I said earlier, sometimes we even get that mixed up. We put a lot of emphasis on the prophet, but we're not putting the emphasis on Christ. We got to balance that. The prophet didn't die for us. Right? The prophet can't redeem us. The prophet didn't do any of that. The prophet didn't reveal the word to us, and we thank God for that. But it's Jesus that died. It's Jesus that rose again. It's Jesus that washed our sins. Huh? It's Jesus that forgives. It's Jesus that does all this. So I want to put all the emphasis on Jesus Christ. Come on, Jesus is not just the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for everything. That chair you sitting in is because of Jesus. That breath that you breathe in is because of Jesus. That house that you live in is because of Jesus. That car that you drive is because of Jesus. Your family is because of Jesus. Everything is because of Christ. Hallelujah. Church, I want to fall more in love with him. I want to love him more than I ever did before. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. All right, stay with me here. I'm getting all this from what the prophet is saying here, right? Amen. He says now, he is the thing. And I could go to town on that. He is the thing. Who? Jesus is the thing. Right now I was looking at a little something, you know, on the internet, because when I read that, a little thought went back through my head. I remember a slogan that they had years ago, and when you bought Coca-Cola, it said Coca-Cola was the real thing, right? And as I was looking at it, what people were saying is that, you know, in that era, you know, they just kind of got tired of politicians lying to them. And every time you turn around, somebody was telling you something that they was not kind of coming through with. So, you know, in that era, they said, you know what? Coke is the real thing. You ain't got to take the fake. Just take Coca-Cola. Right. But, you know, somebody kind of saw that and said, no, Coke is really not the real thing. If you want the real thing, Jesus is the real thing. Come on. Jesus can deliver you from smoking. Jesus can deliver you from drinking. Jesus can deliver you from running from woman to woman or man to man. Only Jesus can do these things. Jesus is the real thing. People done tried drinking and it didn't work. People done tried this and it didn't work. They done tried that and it didn't. But when they tried Jesus, oh hallelujah, that's when the problem was over. My God. That woman at the well, she needed to try Jesus. She went from man to man, but she needed Jesus. And if I can tell you, we went from church to church, but we need to come in contact with Jesus, we'll have the real thing. Oh, my God, my God, my God. He is the thing. He was the prophets. He was in them. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. And he is the things to come. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, if you're writing it down, he should be then. He should be the principal. If that's what he is. And we believe it, don't we? Says now, then if he is that, then he should be the principal theme of our talking. Come on now. Of our thinking. And that's what the Bible say, you know, say, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, then think on these things. What things? Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are of good report. Think on these things. Oh my God. Amen. And I'm so glad it did not say whatsoever things are bad report. Right? Because when you watch the news or you listen to the news, everything they got to say is a bad report. And that's why we should be careful not to get caught up inside of that stuff. Amen. Think on things that are of good report. feed your spirit good things. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because he should be the principle of our thinking, the principle of our talking, the principle of our singing.
That's where I got it from. Right? If he's the principle, that means he's the center of it. Right? He's the thing that it's all about. If our song is not glorifying him, then who are we glorifying? Huh? Amen. Even, you know, I'm one of those that believe we should listen to gospel music. If we're going to listen to music, it should be gospel music, and it should be all the time. I don't believe we just listen to it on Sundays. Huh? You know, I mean, like, you know, radio stations, you got to watch them. They ain't got enough money, and that's a whole different story. Amen, because they're not being supported properly. But here they, you know, they don't have enough money to keep just the gospel flowing all the time. So they have to get worldly music playing. Right? Secular music to kind of keep the funds coming. Amen. We don't want to be that way. I don't want to just be a Sunday only Christian. But I'm gonna be a Christian on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, Saturday all the way back to Sunday. I'm gonna be a Christian. And I'm gonna feed my spirit the things that my spirit man need to be successful. He is the principle of my talking. He's the principle of my thinking. He's the principle of my singing. He of our walks. He should be the principal theme of our life. Jesus is the principal theme of our life. If he's the principal theme of the Bible, and the Bible is in us, then he should be the principal theme of everything that we do, say, or think should be Christ. Is that right? Amen. Amen. All right. I just wanted to kind of bring that back in. We talked about that on last week. The last time I preached a couple weeks ago about him being the principal theme. And I'm not making it up, church. This is what the prophet said. So I feel like the Lord is just kind of turning our attention, and let's get our focus on the real thing. Amen. The real thing is Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to just kind of slip into a couple things here if we can. Oh, my. Hold on 1 second. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I was sharing with you some of the other things that the prophet said. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal. Amen. He's the principal theme of the entire Bible. He should be the principal theme of our talking and our singing, our walk. Amen. I shared how his life type Moses and also he was a type in Adam and Eve, and you know, just so much there. We also typed out Isaac, but I want to come back and just kind of type out Rebecca with you on today. Glory to God. You know, this one goal that God has been trying to get to mankind, there was three things that God wanted people to know. Three things. It was Brother Branham called it the threefold purpose. The first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to his people. That's the first thing. I mean, we still don't really have a good glimpse as to who God is. When people are walking around in their churches, they don't really have a good understanding as to who God is. I remember going to Sunday school and being raised in church and all that, but I didn't know God. I didn't know him, right? I had in my mind that I knew that he was great. I knew that he was big. And, you know, and I remember being a little boy and, you know, and I always tell the story, but I'm glad that God has revealed these things to me now. But I remember being a little boy and going fishing out there, and I was standing on one side of the bank of the little intracoastal there, and I'm throwing out my hook, and, you know, we fishing, and I'm looking across the intracoastal, and I see this big building. Now, the good thing about this is that even as a young man, come on now, as a young man, my heart turned towards God, right? I mean, even before I even knew who he was, I still had this desire to want to know who he was, right? And my heart is like, you know what? Look at that building. The way it's designed, hey man, that looked like the throne where God must be sitting. Now, that's me as a little boy. I don't understand that. You know, God not sitting on some building, but God's sitting in the throne in my heart. Right. You know, and God wanted to, amen, reveal himself to his people so that we can understand. No, I'm not sitting in some big building. The scriptures say, what house will you build me? The house is right here in my heart. That's the house. That's the place that God dwells. I don't know if we get that. The same God that said, let there be light. The same God that created everything that we're looking at in the world today. That same God is dwelling inside of our hearts if we have the Holy Ghost. Oh, I don't know if we get it, church.
Right? Because, see, in this message that, you know, the bride is the mystery. I mean, where Brother Branham preached, the Christ is the mystery of God revealed. But he said in that message that when the bride recognizes who she is. Oh, come on, somebody. It says when she recognizes who she is, then the rapture will go. So I don't think it's by accident that God got us going through this so that we can recognize who we are. Do we know who dwells on the inside? The God that created the universe, the God that created the heavens, the God that created the earth, that God dwells inside your heart. Defeated? You gotta be kidding. Huh? Discouraged? You gotta be kidding. Downcast? You gotta be kidding. That the God that owns everything lives inside of my heart. If God don't like it, he just change it. Huh? If he don't like it, he just change it. He looked into a dark situation one day. An earth that was not without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God did not like that condition, so he changed it by saying, "Let there be light." Do you have something inside of your life that you do not like? If you don't like it, change it. How can you change it? By speaking to it. The God that created it is created inside of you. If you say to the mountain, "Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea," and don't doubt in your heart, what does the Bible say? You can have what you say. Not what the pastors say, not what the prophets say, but what you say, you can have it. You gotta know who's dwelling on the inside of you. You must know this, church. My God. Brother Trevor, I just remember him sharing one time, and it just blessed my heart. You know, you get into the car and you sit there and you look at everybody else driving alongside of you, and they don't know who you are. They didn't know who Jesus was when he came to earth. They don't know who you are. And you're sitting there at the light, and you know, and you can have a smile on the inside of your heart, a son of God driving this car. A daughter of God in this minivan. Huh? Whatever kind of car you got, a daughter of God, a son of God sitting inside of here. I mean, like Brother Walker said, when God wanna go to Orlando, he just get inside your car and he go. And God goes to Orlando. How's he getting there? Through you. Whatever God, I mean, if God desired to do it, he'll do it through you. Right? A son of God riding up the elevator. A son of God sitting at Subway. A daughter of God at Starbucks. You understand? I mean, people don't know. Oh, my God, my God. You know, we don't know who we are. Sometimes God puts you in some really, really some situations that you might not understand why you're even sitting there. Right. A brother was just sharing this quote with me of this young lady. She went to work on this job, and she was a very homely type person. You know, she dressed like a Christian, looked like a Christian, and everything else. And across the street was a Christian college. But the young ladies that was coming to that college did not dress like Christians, did not look like Christians, but yet they were going to this Christian college. So the young lady that looked like a Christian worked across the street, and sometimes those other young ladies have to come in and get something to eat from that restaurant. Brother Branham said God placed that homely young lady in that restaurant as a servant so that she can be a testimony, and not only a testimony, but she would be judgment to all the other ones. So sometimes God using you, Sister Shonda not here today, but when she's standing out there on the corner with her skirt and everybody else driving by, amen, that's the daughter of God standing on the corner, amen, crossing the kids. Amen, that's the daughter of God dressed like that. Right, God going to have a witness, and God is replanting everybody. Remember you used to make that right turn. Remember you used to come to this corner and make that left. I had a daughter of God sitting right there. When you're going in for your deliveries, Brother Solomon, it's the Son of God stepping in here. Oh, you don't understand. When you young people are going into school, it's a child of God sitting in the classroom. Can I tell you, you are not a child of the devil. So don't act like a child of the devil. You are a child of God. Live like it, look like it, act like it. I'm a son of the King, a daughter of the King. Come on, somebody. My God, my God. Listen, he wanted to reveal himself to his people. Secondly, he wanted to have the preeminence in his body of believers. And we got to get to a spot where, Lord, I'm surrendering everything to you. I just, you know what? No longer am I my own, but I belong to you now, God. Whatever your will is, that's what my will is. Whatever your way is, that's my way. God need witnesses. God need a witness in sixth grade. God need a witness in 12th grade. God need a witness on the job that you at. We should not have go to a job. God bless us with a job. And then we leave there with a testimony that the people on the job overcame us. That's a shame. They overcame us. No, that's not going to be the testimony. God's going to have somebody that's going to be a witness no matter where they go. Oh, my God, my God. Amen. He is the theme of everything I do. The reason I can't go where you want me to go because Christ is my theme. He's the center of my life. You know, we sing the song, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Do we really mean that? But he's the principal thing. My decisions are based upon the word of God. I don't do nothing that the word don't want me to do. Come on. I don't go nowhere the word don't want me to go. Come on. I'm not going to act in any way that the word does not want me to act. My God. He's the principal theme of it all, church. He need a witness. He wants to have preeminence in his body of believers. Oh, my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. When I just think about how good God is, right? I mean, I look over this church, various nations are represented in this one little church, various nations, people from all over, right? And here, God will use you out of your nation, because I think like this. My mind just, it go places. I sit down and I thank all the people that I went to school with, all the ones that we played football together, we did this together, and we did all of that. But all those people, amen, that I hung out with, a fellowship with, at some point in time, we crossed paths, whether it was elementary or middle school or high school, even college. All these people that I crossed paths with, but yet God would choose me to reveal his word to. Think about it. The church that you came out of, some of y'all was Baptist, some of y'all was Catholic, some of y'all was Methodist, some Pentecost. We come from all kind of walks of life. But God would choose us to reveal himself to. We are special people to God. He wants to have the preeminence in his body. That's his bride. The third thing that God wanted to do was restore the kingdom to its right position that fell by sin by the first Adam. Amen. He wants to restore the kingdom to its right position that fell by sin by the first Adam. Now, the second Adam came to restore all that the first Adam lost. The second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the second Adam also has to have a second Eve. Oh, my God. The second Adam, if we want to restore things back to, amen, the original place, then there's got to be an Eve that is there in the garden as well. If we're going back to the Garden of Eden, Adam was there as well as Eve. Well, who is that Eve? Oh, my God, my God. Come on, who is that Eve? If there's a second Adam, where is the second Eve? Come on now, and I'm going to tell you something. This second Eve will not fall for the same tricks that the first Eve fell for. This second Eve going to stay with the word. The first Eve added one word to it, but this second Eve going to keep it pure. Ooh, I can tell you who the second Eve is. She's sitting here today. Oh, my God. And there's some that's a part of the second Eve that don't even know they're a part of it. But the word will find them too. Oh, my God. She's been built up through seven church ages. Amen. From Ephesus to Smyrna to Pergamos to Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, to Laodicea, the age in which we live. Second Eve has been coming, has been forming and coming forth. Amen. Look at this now. There's something about this. I just want to read a little bit from the prophet, and we talked about Isaac. I want to get to Rebecca. Oh my God. Listen to this. I want to go to this message, the time of decision. The prophet makes a couple comments that I want to just kind of share with you. Amen. Look at this. He says, I want to take a text tonight called this, the time of decision. I want to read from Genesis 24:58, just one verse. Now, that's exactly what I did. I got that from the prophet, right? And he says, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. You know, we have been forced to make decisions. There's a time when we have to come to the place where we got to say yes or no. That's just in human life. There's a time where we cannot stand neutral. And if God shall permit, I don't believe that we'll be able to leave this church tonight. And if I can just inject this morning, right? We won't be able to leave the church in the same conditions we did when we come into it. If the Holy Spirit shall come and do his work among us, then we are forced to say yes or no. We cannot remain the same. Now, let me just inject something there. Whenever, amen, it's been the opportunity is presented to you to serve the Lord, amen, to give your heart to the Lord, amen, and you say in your mind, I'm not ready yet. I'm too young for that. Or I got more to do. Or whatever. Whenever you get to a point where you say that, and you might not say, well, I'm not really saying no. Yes, you are. Right? And if you're not saying yes, you are saying no. Right? And no decision is actually a decision. You need to understand that. No decision is actually a decision. It's a decision not to do what you were asked to do. Right? At some point in time, you got to say either yes to the Lord or no to the Lord. Hallelujah. There is no neutral ground. Come on now. I know I'm talking real good. Young people, you're going to have to say yes or no. Yes, I'm going to serve, or no, I'm not going to. You cannot straddle the fence. Come on, you just can't be a Christian on the weekend. God calls for Christianity every day of the week. Oh, hallelujah. You know how people get, they change when they get with their friends. Huh? Amen. All of a sudden, a friend come by and you're not the same old person. And you can tell they different. You can tell, especially if they run into that friend in your presence, they don't know how to act. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? What? You know, how do I do this? You know, do I reach out and say, God bless you? Do I say, what's up? You know, how do I do this? You know, you don't know what to do, right? I mean, your language changes when you get with your friends. Come on now. Hallelujah. God wants Christians every day. He want to be the principal or the center of your life. I know people that go to church, and when they get to work, it's a whole nother side of them come out. They're cursing. What? You say you're a Christian? Just finished praising God the day before. And now out there cursing? Are you kidding? See? I mean, no, we can't have this. I don't care what kind of job you got.
That's right. Amen.
Some jobs, that's all they do is curse. Huh? I mean, all they do is cursing. You know, even certain jobs, certain things are just, you know, they got filthy jokes that they talk about, and you can't be laughing at all that. Not with the Holy Ghost being there. Not with the Creator living on the end. You can't be laughing at all that. You got to find a way to get away from that conversation. If you ain't going to say nothing to stop it, you need to get out of it somehow. What? Laughing and giggling, they just, oh my God. And every joke about somebody's mama is not funny. All right, now, I'm just saying it. But, you know, we got to find a way to get out. The next thing you know, you're talking about people's mamas. There was a little thing that I just saw. I'm going to get back to this. It was they did a thing in school. I saw this little video. They did a thing in school where they had all the young men rate the young ladies in school. They rated them. And they had a website that they would go to, and they just rate all the young ladies. They just put whatever they thought of the young ladies on this website. You can't do that to young ladies, right? Because their psyche is impacted by that type of stuff, right? So, you know, they rated all these young ladies, and this young man, he put his information up there, and he thought it was just going to be something that went in and went and got out real quick. Well, about 2 days later, he went home, and his sister was sitting there crying. And was wondering, what in the world are you crying about? Well, they had this website that all the guys went up and they started rating all the young ladies. And they rated me. And they just said this about me. And they said that about me. And he said, oh, my goodness. I would have never did that if I would have known it was going to bring that kind of hurt to you. He never said anything about his sister, but it's what he said about other people's sisters. Right? And now it's coming back on his family. Right? I mean, we got to watch what we get involved with. The Holy Spirit will stop us from some of this stuff. Oh, my God. Come on now. We got to make a decision. Yes or no. Are we going to serve him or are we not going to serve him? Amen. Amen. Oh, my God. And I'm going to tell you, I'm at a point. I'm not serving God because my mama make me come to church. I'm not serving God because my daddy make me come to church. It's actually in me to just get up and go to church. My mama ain't got to make. Now, there was a time she had to make me. Another time, my daddy had to make me. I can tell y'all stories of, you know, my parents. And, you know, I remember one time we didn't, me and my brother, we were too cool to go to church. We didn't want to go to church. And then on top of that, it was a beautiful day in Florida. And this day, my family decided they're going to walk to church. No. Yeah, I don't want to be seen carrying the Bible. I'm too cool to carry a Bible. Come on, see, y'all got it made nowadays. Y'all just pull it up on your phones and all that. I don't like that. Carry this word right here. Carry the word right here. Let people see that you're a Christian. Amen. And now we got the little compact Bibles. We can put it up. No, carry a big one. Y'all ever see one of them big old family Bibles? That's what you need to be walking around with. But, you know, my family, you know, me and my brother, like, man, we ain't going out there. No, I can't be seen like that. The boy's going to see me. They already calling me church boy, and I don't like that. I don't want to be called church boy. I want to be cool. I'm JD, you know. I'm not church boy. Come on now. I'm talking real good. But you know, I said, we told our dad, I said, Dad, y'all go on, and we'll be right behind you. Me and my brother, we'll be right behind you. Okay, I'll be looking for your sons. All right, Dad, all right, we'll be right behind you. And me and my brother just kind of, just you know, moping around. We're going to find a way to get out of this. I don't know how we're going to get out. And Dad had walked up a little bit, and before you know it, before we got out the house, I don't know how, it didn't seem like it was that long. But before you know it, Dad snuck back to the house. And he said, now, sons, I thought I told y'all I was expecting y'all to be right behind me. What happened? Daddy, we coming. Well, I know you're coming. And he got his belt. And Daddy put it on me and my brother. We went out that house, running out the house to go to church. Now, we didn't have to go through all that if we just went on to church with the family. But we was too embarrassed to be with the family. Right? We was too embarrassed. But I thank God I had parents that forced me into the house of God until I could understand what it was all about. We need more parents like that. What? You 10? Talking about you don't want to go to church? I'm sorry. I wouldn't let it happen in my house. Amen. And when you get big enough where you don't want to do what I ask you to do, it's a front door. It is a front door. Come on now, somebody. All right. Ain't nothing but the truth. It's a front door. And when you come back through the front door, you're going to be doing what we asked you to do. Amen. Come on now. We need parents still like that. Amen. Amen. It's tight, but it's right. Amen. Come on. Right. If we just keep letting our kids get away with this type of stuff, what are we raising? Mm-hmm. They got to be able to respect God. They got to love God, right? Amen. Come on now. All right. Come on. I'm trying to get somewhere. Glory, glory, glory. Listen. All right. He says this. He says, if the Holy Spirit shall come and do his work among us, then we're forced to say yes or no. We cannot remain the same. And the time had come for Abraham, the great patriarch and servant of God, to make a decision. And this decision was that he was to decide just on who his son, Isaac, that he had waited 25 years for, and had received him as one from the dead, and know that he was called and separated messenger of God. And there was a time come when he had to make the decision who would be his helpmate to carry on the plans of God. Now, the plan of God. I'm going to have to come back to that. I want to dwell at that at some point in time, because the Lord Jesus has gone through the same process. Who's going to be his helpmate that's going to carry on the plan of God? Right? Who's going to be that group that he says, you know, these signs that, you know, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. Who's going to be the group that's going to take on that, to carry on the plans of God? Come on. He's looking for a second Eve. He's looking for a Rebecca. He's looking for a wife, someone that's going to share in this responsibility. Oh, my God, it's beautiful. Stay with me here. You see, God don't make all of our decisions. This is important. God don't make all of our decisions. And there's many times that God doesn't tell his prophets just what to do, because they have to make the decision. And if there is no decision that we have to make, just wait every move on God, then there's no overcoming on our part. I want to make sure we get this. Because oftentimes we sit and we say, Lord, show me this. Show me that. And God, show me. I mean, like, people get too, they get over spiritual. Right? Over spiritual. You know what I mean? They walking down the toothpaste aisle in the grocery store. Lord, lead me to the toothpaste that I should buy, God. You over spiritual. Just get the one that's on sale. Right? Don't do all that inside the grocery store. It don't take all that to serve God. Lead me, God, to this, and lead. God ain't going to show you everything. Sometimes when you even looking, what job should I take? God not going to show you which job to take. There's some things you're going to go through in life that God will not show you everything. You're going to have to walk by faith. I want to make it clear. I want to make it clear. Listen, he says this. He says, if there's no decision that we have to make, we just wait every move on God, then there is no overcoming on our part. And sometimes they make the wrong decision. God's anointed prophets makes the wrong decisions and many times are deceived. This is important to me. A prophet being deceived? Look at it. Look at it. You know, let me see if he brings it out of here. No, let me just drop this off for you. Isaac, later on in his life, was a man. He got to a spot where he began to lose his eyesight. He was a great man of God. Brother Branham called him a prophet. And there Isaac began to lose his eyesight. And when it was time for him to go off to Sydney, he wanted to bless his sons. Well, one of his boys went and put on some animal hair and all kind of stuff and dressed himself up to make himself look like his brother. Jacob made himself look like he was Esau, right? And when he got there before his daddy said, "Now, are you really Esau?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm Esau. Lying like crazy. Yes, I'm Esau." He said, "But, you know, you got Esau hands, because I can the hair and everything, although Esau was a hairy man, I can kind of feel all that because he was blind and couldn't see." He said, "Now I can feel you. You got like Esau characteristics, but it sounds like Jacob's voice." So it sounds like Jacob's voice to me. He said, "Dad, no, it's not Jacob. It's well, how you get the meat so fast?" Well, God bless me with the meat. I mean, just lying to his daddy, like people lie to God today. And the Lord blessed me with, you know, the Lord didn't bless you with that. Come on now, I might as well, you know, some of that stuff that. You know, some of the things we've been approved for, services that we've been approved for, God didn't bless us with that. We lied on the application to get it, and then we say God blessed us. All right, church. And then we come into, you know, stature of a perfect man, right? So, you know, I mean, so at that moment, Isaac was deceived by his son, Jacob. Sometimes God prophets are deceived. They make the wrong decision. Amen. Guess what? God's people are going to be deceived sometimes. They're going to make the wrong decision in life. Now, one thing you will not be deceived on is this word. The Bible said if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. But it's not possible. So when it comes to this word, you won't be deceived. Second Eve will not be deceived when it comes to this word. But making just normal everyday decisions, you might make the wrong decision sometime. And you know what? Don't beat yourself up over making a wrong decision. Just get up and keep going. My God, my God, my God. Can I go a little further? Yes, sir. Says, and this time came, and Abraham was determined that he did not want his son to marry an unbeliever. I just love this. I love this. Abraham was determined. Y'all not reading with me. Abraham was determined that he did not want his son to marry an unbeliever. I'm at 13. Just scroll down to E13. It says he was determined that he did not want his son to marry an unbeliever. The prophet says this, that would be a good decision for Christians today who are sons and daughters of Abraham to make. To make what? Same. About what? So the parents should be involved. You know why? Because children don't know how to make good decisions. So the parents need to be involved when it comes time to making decisions. I don't want my daughter to marry an unbeliever. I don't want my son to marry an unbeliever. And I'm going to do everything I can to discourage that. Woo! Hey, oh, my God. I mean, it's going to be some real tough days in the house. Amen. It's going to be some hard times in the house because I'm going to be discouraging them from marrying an unbeliever. I mean, church, this is important, right? I mean, the prophet said now, and I've said it too, you know, say a believer should, under no circumstances. Y'all didn't hear the prophet on that. Under no circumstances, right? I mean, well, you know, this happened and that happened, and maybe it's probably good that they get married. No, under no circumstances. Should a believer marry an unbeliever? Now, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And I got saints in this church that have married like that, and they'll be the first ones to tell you why a believer shouldn't marry an unbeliever. The prophet didn't just make that up, and God wasn't saying that, and Abraham wasn't just doing that just to be doing it. Abraham had a revelation. Don't let my son marry one of these Canaanites. I don't care how pretty she is. I don't care how sad her story is. Don't let my son marry this Canaanite. Amen. See, you know, there's reason for that. Because Brother Bram say, you get into a marriage like that, only the grace of God will keep it together. You know, but Brother Jack, I've been waiting so long. Ain't no brothers, none of them at the church. We've been in the church for years, no brothers. And what, are you expecting me to marry this guy? He's only like 10. I can't be older than my husband. No. We got all kind of stuff. So we go get an unbeliever. And before you know it, you ain't coming to church no more. Trying to please that unbeliever. And that's man or woman, right? Amen. Church, this is reality. But Abraham said, no. Now I want you to also know Isaac was 40 years old when it was time for him to get married. It was about 40. And here Abraham say, now I know he's 40, and he living in my house. And Isaac, I don't care how old you is, you still ain't marrying one of these Canaanites. God. Abraham could say that because Abraham had some inheritance. He has some wealth, and he can leave it to whoever he want to leave it to. Right? But now, Isaac, you going to take my inheritance? You're going to have to do things that I'm asking you to do. You ain't marrying what Isaac, you girlfriend, no, man, don't bring her here. Don't bring her here. Texting? Who you texting? Isaac, you got to be kidding. Now, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going back to where I come from. And that's where you're going to get yourself a wife. Amen. Glory to God. Ain't nothing but the truth. Amen. And I tell you what, if parents did the same thing today, we'd have a lot less trouble later on in life. Don't let them consume on their lusts, because that ain't going to last. That ain't going to last. Later on in life, there will be problems. There will be problems. Ain't nothing but the truth. But we got to go back to where the problem started. Come on now. Amen. I mean, you know, you can't blame it on everybody else. You got to look at it for yourself. Look, this is where the problem started, right here. Anytime we break the word of God, that's where problems going to start. Now, it might not look like it initially, but you give it time. It's going to come. God will give you grace to come on out of it now, but don't make the same mistake again, because you got grandkids that's going to come along. Now, when it's time for them to get married, no, can't marry an unbeliever. Can't marry an unbeliever. You got to find a believer. Someone believe the same thing you believe. A Christian. You got to, and I'm going to go even further than that. I'm not just going to say Christian. I ain't going to say that, because there's all kind of people call themselves Christians nowadays. Find somebody to believe this word the same way you believe it. Oh, God. You know, sometimes I just read it earlier where, you know, God ain't going to tell us all the time what type of decision. Some decisions we can make because the word tell us what's right. We ain't got to pray about that, right? Here's an unbeliever trying to marry one of your kids, and you sitting there praying, Lord, is this your will? When the word of God already tell you that, you know, how can two be together except, I mean, they can't walk together except they agree. We can't be, the word actually say don't be unequally yoked. And you wonder why you ain't got no answer from God. I can tell you something. God is wondering why you ain't even just looked at your Bible. Amen. Right? Why you ain't just read your Bible? Any of y'all ever got to a point where, you know, your kids or somebody, even a spouse, ask you a question over and over again and you done already answered it? It just become... Amen. A nuisance. Annoying to you. I'm not even talking. I'm going to ignore you because I've already answered that. That's what God said. Read the Bible. Already spoke about that. Under no circumstances do you get married. Under none. None. All right. Okay. Oh, Lord, I had some more to say about Rebecca and today. Okay, let me try to finish this. Oh, God, we still in revival. Amen. You know what revival do? Come on now, somebody got a revelation. Revival wash trash out. That's all we're trying to do is get the trash out. Then we can really enjoy the presence of God. Oh, my. Hallelujah. All right, this time, the time came, Abraham was determined that he did not want his son to marry an unbeliever. That would be a good decision for Christians today who are sons and daughters of Abraham to make the same decision about their children. Some of y'all young people that your parents are here and they're hearing this, y'all ain't even got no chance. Don't even come home. Don't even think about it. If they don't believe what you believe, don't even, what you're going to do is start sneaking around. Oh, my God. And when you sneak around, you got to hide what you're doing. It's going to come to light one day. Yes, and when it come to light, it ain't going to be too good for you. Yes, right? Amen. Amen. Look, talk to people that done did it, and it ain't work for them. People done snuck around and tried to do it, and it don't work. Sneaking around don't work. Just be honest before God. Live right before God. Yes, just wait on the Lord. Sisters, y'all might be waiting for, don't worry, just wait. Right. We got testimonies. If y'all know Brother Gary and Sister Nadine. Sister Nadine had been waiting for a good while for a husband, and God gave her Brother Gary. right? I know another lady that was well over her her 40s and kept herself. Kept herself. There's a lady in our family that kept herself. God blessed her with a minister. She's well over 40, you know, when she got married. God can bless you, right? You just wait on God. And let me tell you something. Don't be so fast and in a hurry to get married, right? Because I'm out here now. I might as well say, look, love don't pay bills. It don't. It don't pay bills. Somebody got to go to work. And if you got a man that will not go to work, you got a problem on your hand. And you can tell whether he's going to work or not. If he's not working right now, and you just met him, and then a month from now, 2 months from now, he still ain't got a job, and now he's asking you for money, you can't get married and then say that I ain't seen none of that. Yes, it was all over. The signs was all. You should have stayed away from something like that. I don't know why God know why I'm saying this. God know why I'm saying it. I don't know who in here might be entertaining something. You better watch yourself in this area. Don't play with fire. You will get burned. Don't play with fire. That's just for young man or young woman. Don't if she'll want nothing to do with God, you better let it cut. They have a saying in the world, kick them to the curb. That's what you better be doing. Look, I mean, we might as well just tell the truth. You don't mess up your life. Things have been going very good for you, and now you're going to get to this part of your life and just mess it up. Abraham wasn't going to let that happen to Isaac. No, Abraham, maybe you've not seen some other situations. Nah, my son ain't marrying one of these. He done heard the conversation of these Canaanites. My son is not marrying one of these Canaanites. He told his servant, Eliezer, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go down and get my son a wife. You know, his mother just passed away, and he needs some comfort. He needs some strength. Go get him a wife. Go get him a wife. And Eliezer was given this great task to go find a wife for Isaac, the promised son. And I just want you to know just a couple things about Eliezer. Eliezer was, you know, first of all, Eliezer represents the seven messengers to the seven church ages. Eliezer represents a Paul, a Irenaeus, a Martin, a Columba, Luther, Wesley, and in our day, Brother Branham. Right? Eliezer represents them because he's one of the friends of the bridegroom. And in the scripture, when it talks about the friends of the bridegroom, it was seven different men that would help this bridegroom. All right? So here Eliezer represents one of those messengers, or one of those stars in the hands of Jesus, according to Revelation 1:20, Eliezer represents them. Now, I want you to catch Eliezer. His name is spelled E-L-I-E-Z-E-R. Seven letters in his name. All right? Eliezer representing the seven church messengers. All right? Through the seven church ages, he had to go and get a bride for Isaac. Isaac, the promised son, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here, Eliezer was a model servant who typed today's servants of God. He was trustworthy. He was just. The other thing about Eliezer, Brother Branham said, he did not go after money or popularity. And notice our prophet didn't go after money or popularity. When they gave him a $1.5 million check, our prophet tore it up. Amen. The prophet told us that typically most leaders, most men fall to either women like Samson did. They fall to money like Balaam did, or they fall to popularity like Saul did. But Eliezer waited to be sent, and he only went where he was sent. Right? He was not concerned about bigger crowds or even more money. Eliezer only went where God told him to go. The other thing about Eliezer, an angel went before Eliezer. And many times when Brother Branham would show up to the meeting, an angel had already gone before. When he preached the seals, an angel had gone before each seal before we heard it. Come on. When he arrived on the scene, Eliezer never boasted about himself. But he spoke of his master and his master's son. Amen. Eliezer had to make a quick choice. come on now. I wish I could just deal with it. But, you know, Eliezer, when he got there, you know, they tried to sit him down to eat. And Eliezer said, now, look, before I eat, one thing I'm going to have to tell you while I'm here. You know, I'm not here to just kind of have fellowship, but I came looking for a wife for my servant son. Amen. And Brother Branham came looking for a wife for Jesus Christ. You are that second Eve that he came looking for. Oh, my God. My God. He had a response. It was a quick work that had to be done. And notice now, when he got there, he said, now, this is what happened. See, I was praying, and I said, Lord, I need to find a wife for my servant son. Say, my master son, I need to find a wife. And say, now, Lord, if you would, now show me who she is by doing this one sign. When I come and I ask her for water, let her not only just give me water, but let her also offer water to my camels. Y'all need to understand something about this. Each camel could drink about 20 gallons of water. So when Rebecca was digging, dropping her jug into into that well, she was bringing up about 200 gallons of water. That let me know a little bit about Rebecca. That tell me a little bit about Rebecca. Rebecca wasn't lazy. The young man. Young man, that's all I say. Rebecca wasn't lazy. Rebecca got 200 gallons of water, and she did it with joy. If you go to her house, young man, and she's throwing the food at her daddy. Don't be blinded. Don't let love blind you. Because you might, she's going to love me. Her daddy just did this, and her daddy did that, and that's why she don't love her daddy. One day something gonna happen. Y'all gonna have a little disagreement, and before you know it, the food be thrown at you. Rebecca wasn't lazy. Can I just talk about Rebecca was a type of the bride. Her name was seven letters, Rebekah, which represent the bride through seven church ages. When she watered the camels, the very camel that she watered took her to her bridegroom. And if I can say it this way, the word of God that we water today with our living amens will take us to Jesus Christ. Amen. When Rebecca, you know, dropped she watered the camels and watered Eliezer and all the men that were with him. You know, Eliezer said, whose house do you come from? Well, I come from Laban's house. He said, oh, my God, God has answered my prayer. I can't believe. So he got there to Laban's house and, you know, got invited in. They laid the meal down. He's like, you know, look, I'm just here to tell you. I came, I was praying, and God sent Rebecca out. I was looking for a wife for my master's son, and God sent Rebecca out. And while I was praying, she came and answered my prayer. Not only did she give me water, but she gave the camels water. And I'm looking for a wife. And they say, and by the time they heard the story, and they say, now you might not remember Abraham, because Abraham and Sarah, while they were there in that land, they did not have any kids. But now when Abraham is, now this message come back, you know what? God has blessed Abraham and Sarah in their old age, and God has blessed them with a son. And not only, amen, has God blessed them with a son, but this son is going to own everything that Abraham got. He's a very wealthy man. Now I need you to understand something. Everything that Isaac was receiving, he was getting ready to share this with Rebecca. So everything Christ has, he is sharing it with us. When Rebecca was there, she received gifts. She got earrings. She got one earring. She got bracelet. She got some silver. She got some gold. She got all types of gifts. And I'm going to tell you, when we receive Christ, we also receive gifts. The gifts of the Spirit. According to 1 Corinthians 12. Said she had to make a decision. Right? We all got to come to a spot where we got to say yes or no. She had to make a quick decision in spite of what her mother said and in spite of what her brother said. Oh, my God. Her mother represented the denominational church. Her brother was the preacher inside that church. Despite what they thought about it, Rebecca had to make her own decision, and she said, I will go. I left my Baptist church. I left my Pentecostal church. I left the Catholic church. I left all of that. I will go and I will follow this message. Isaac and Rebecca met in the field. And you know what? We're going to meet the Lord in the air. It was love at first sight. And I want y'all to just stay with me. I'm going to finish this with this quote here. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Where am I? There's a quote that I want to read for you. End time evangelism. Look at this. The prophet says this. God's looking for character, not membership. Character. Eliezer, when he went to get the bride of Christ, I mean the bride of Isaac, he sweated it out until he found character. Remember, Abraham put him responsible as God puts us responsible. That's right. We ministers hunt my bride. God bless your heart. I ain't looking for members. I'm looking for the pure in heart. Somebody that'll believe the word. And that's the way I feel. We're not just looking for just members, church members. We want people that's going to stay with this word. Because Eve going to stay with the word. I know there's people filling up churches, but their lives are not changing in any way at all. Eliezer looked and he thought, oh, I can't do it myself. There's too much responsibility. I'm realizing the responsibility of finding Isaac, which is a type of the church. You know, Christ, Rebecca, the type of the bride. Eliezer got down on his knees and said, God, you just have to help me. And when he referred to God, God helped him. He got character. Come back to the word, brother. Come back to God. Don't pay any attention to this church you belong to. You can stay there if you want to, if they'll let you. But the thing to do first is come to God. That's right. This is the end time evangelism. Yes, sir. Character. When he found out, when Eliezer found the character that was in the woman, Rebecca, the beautiful bride of Isaac, he told her about Isaac. And she never questioned one thing. She believed the word of the messenger. And she made ready to go. And they went, asked the father, and he said, just ask her. The damsel is of age. Ask her. Let her decision be. She said, I will go. To what? A man she'd never seen, know nothing about, but yet she was ready because she was predestinated and foreordained to that. Exactly right. You know what? We've never seen Christ. We've only heard about him through what we read in the scripture. But then God began to manifest, amen, a living Christ in the ministry of Brother Branham. And we came out of the world. We came out of our denominations. And we said, yes, I will go. Amen. You're that Rebecca. Amen. You're that second Eve. You had to make a quick decision. But it's going to be a worthy decision. Amen. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I tell you, this everything that Isaac had was being shared with Rebecca. Everything Christ has is being shared with you. We're going to work ourselves through this journey. We're going to work ourselves through. Sometimes I have to bring in the natural with the spiritual, but I pray it'll be a help to all of us as we go down this path. Amen. The bride is the mystery of Christ revealed. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. God, today, just trying to show us, even in this story of Isaac and Rebecca, how we fit. Lord, that Rebecca was a perfect type of who we are in you. She had to make a very quick decision, but the decision that she made was based on her hearing how Eliezer had prayed. How Eliezer was talking with the same God that she talked with. And there he prayed and asked God to send a particular woman that would do a particular thing. And there she was walking out and fulfilling that on that day. She didn't know what she was doing, but God, she was the answer to a prayer. God, I just think about some of the places that we might have been when we heard this word, when we heard this truth, and God, how you called us, and right there where we were, we dropped everything that we had. We let it all go. If it was a position, we let it go. If it was a doctrine, we let it go. If it was a relationship in the world, we let it go because we wanted to follow you. God, I just pray that if there's anybody in that condition today, that they would leave here making a decision that, yes,
they will follow. Yes, they'll go with Eliezer. Amen. And Eliezer was only taking her to Isaac. Once he got her to Isaac, God, we never hear from Eliezer again. And Eliezer is representative of your prophet. Your prophet was trying to introduce us to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the center, the principal theme of the entire story. Oh my God, if we could ever get these things, we could ever catch them, then we'll have our eyes fixed on the right thing. Oh, what love. Amen. What love that we would have for you, God. Eliezer had done his job and he was off the scene. But now the story was between Isaac and his bride. That's why the Bible can say the spirit and the bride say come. Because now, Lord, the emphasis has been placed on your bride. We thank you that you would send the Eliezer to us, that he would come and he would just share the truth, store up this great food that we could sit and eat in fellowship around. We thank you for that, oh God. But now, Lord Jesus, let us realize, Lord, that he's done his job. That's why you've called him off the scene. But now, Lord, our attention has got to be on you. He was always trying to point us to you, God. Your prophet was always trying to do that. Let us keep our eyes on you, God, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 My God, church. My God, my God, my God, my God. There's just so much here. And amen. I pray that we're just going to take our time and go through it. And sometimes God just have to say things. And amen. That's just the way it's got to be. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise today. You know, when we just really just go back and just really begin to look at these various things that happen in Scripture, it causes you to look at the Bible in a new light. You begin to look at everybody else's story and you see your own story intertwined with it. To be called the bride of Christ is a very unique position that we claim, a unique title. This church, like the prophet said, there's many sisters in the church, but only one sister in this church can be claimed as my bride. Only one. And just like in the world today, there's many churches, the prophet said, churches, brides, churches, but there's only one that's going to have the dynamics and mechanics together. There's going to be many that have dynamics, great, powerful things happening in their midst, but only one will have the dynamics and the mechanics together. God, help us to be that bride, that Rebecca. I'm so glad that he called me, church. So glad that he chose me. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Come on, let's sing a few choruses of this song. See, he chose me. He chose me out of all that he could have used. He chose me. Say, he chose me. Oh, he chose me. And he can use me till he used me up. Come on, he chose me. Say, he chose me. Yes, he did. And he chose me. Out of all that he could have used. I'm so glad to know he did. Yes, he chose me. Oh, he chose me. And he can use me up. I gave him my heart. Oh, I gave him my heart and I gave him my soul.
gave over my life. He took complete control. He can use me till he used me up. Oh, I gave him my heart. Say, I gave him my heart and I gave him my soul. Gave over my life. He took complete control. He can use me till he used me up. Come on, he chose me. Say, he chose me. Yes, he did. Oh, he chose me out of all that he could have used. Well, he chose me. Oh, yes, he did. He chose me, and he can use me till he used me up. I gave him my heart. Say, I gave him my heart. Gave him my soul. Oh, gave over my life. He took complete control. He can use me till he used me up. I gave him my heart, gave him my soul. Say, I gave him my heart and I gave him my soul. Gave over my life. He took complete control. He can use me till he used me up. One more time. I gave him my heart. Yes, I did. Oh, I gave him my heart and I gave him my soul. Gave over my life. He took complete control. He can use me till he used me up. He chose me. He chose me. Say, he chose me. Oh, he chose me. Oh, after all that he could have used. Oh, I'm glad about it. I'm glad to know that he chose me. Yes, he did. He chose me. And he can use me till he used me up. Oh, somebody worship him in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Glory to his name. Amen. As Brother Solomon just comes to close us out, just turn around and tell somebody, I'm so glad that he chose me. I'm so glad that he chose me. I'm so glad. He didn't have to do it, but he did. I'm so glad that he chose me.
I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you, dear Lord. I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, my spirit.
Hallelujah. Come on. You can clap a little better than that for your Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's drawing close, brothers and sisters. You can feel that love beginning to grow. Amen. One day we're finally going to look upon his face, the one that we've loved so much, and the one who loved us first. Some glad day. Amen. Will you bow your heads? Oh, Heavenly Father, our love and our bridegroom, our husband and our friend. Dear Lord, we're so grateful that you come by this morning, Lord God, to whisper secrets to us, Lord God, to deal with our hearts concerning our love for you and our love for one another. Father, for we're all a part of your body. And I'm so glad that you've come down in a special way to bring your word and cement us with the bonds of love, Father. And Father, I just ask, Lord God, that you continue to allow that love to pulsate in our hearts as we walk out these doors, Lord God, and we go back out into the world. Father, may the people of this world see your reflection in us. May they see the very life of Jesus Christ, Lord, pulsating in us, Lord. Father, may they get hungry and thirst, Lord God, for you. Father, we have the answer, Lord, for you live within us, Lord. And may we present you to others that they may come to know you, Lord. Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for coming by this day. We give you thanks, Lord, for using Brother Jack, Lord, in a special way. I give you thanks, Lord, for my brothers and sisters, Lord. When I look upon them, all I can see is you. For it's your life, Lord, that's living within them. And Father, as we go, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you go with us. Keep each one. Grant traveling mercies to us all. Father, bring us all back at the appointed time, Lord. We commit all these things to you now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You all may be seated. Our brethren will come and dismiss us. Amen. God bless you.